Barry, in relation to the Stroke Association, startling figures about the number of people across Northern Ireland, first of all, who are affected by stroke.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our figures at the minute is that there's 37,000 people affected by stroke in Northern Ireland. This report that's just out at the minute, it just deals with people over the age of 45, and it estimates there's 24,000. And if nothing's done in the next 20 years, if we don't do comprehensive research into prevention and public health campaigns, that could rise to 57,000. And, you know, the costs, the human costs, the emotional costs, the cost of the health sector are, you know, just going to be astronomical. So this is what we're on. We want to change the story. We want to make sure that doesn't happen. And if we can do the right research and the right prevention, that many people will not have strokes. That's what we're aiming to do.
Just remind us, and there will be people who won't be aware of the answer, what is a stroke?
Well, a stroke, there's two types of stroke. One is called an ischemic stroke, and that's where there's a clot, a blood clot in the brain, and the brain is then starved of oxygen, and the person then will have, you know, unfortunately it can be fatal if not treated quickly enough, or they will have kind of long-term difficulties depending on what part of the brain has been damaged. There's then another type of stroke called hemorrhagic stroke, and that's a bleed in the brain. That's basically a brain hemorrhage, and that's very severe. That's the more severe type of stroke, and funny, it's one that there's no real effective treatment for, and that's one of our calls for research monies here and investment for that hemorrhagic stroke, where there literally is no effective treatment. We want to try and see why people have those strokes and that they can be prevented. The other type of stroke can be prevented with you know, a lot of treatments for high-risk people and for good lifestyle and healthy living. So, you know, a lot of the strokes are preventable.
The ones that we'd presume that we could prevent, what's the best advice to, you know, I'm mid-50s, I'm a busy man, I'm probably a wee bit overweight, not terribly overweight. Do I get enough exercise? What should I be doing to avoid having a stroke?
Yeah, well, the first thing to do, I mean, is to live a healthy lifestyle, you know, so do the, you know, the healthy eating, the keeping the weight reasonable, doing the exercise, etc. I mean, we would say that about, you know, to avoid any condition, so that goes across the board for healthy living. I think particularly people around, I'd be around the same age, Frank, as yourself, and I think at this stage we should be looking to get our blood pressure checked, for example. That can be done routinely. The Stroke Association do sessions on that. GPs can do it routinely. If you have high blood pressure, you're much more at risk of a stroke. And there's also a condition called atrial fibrillation, which a lot of people don't know about. It's very common in the population, and people should be getting themselves checked for that. A lot of people don't know that they have this condition. It's no symptoms. It's an irregular heartbeat, and there's a massive increase in risk of having a stroke if you have AF, atrial fibrillation. So again, a very simple test for your doctor, and if you're found to have it, you know you can be treated and given medication to reduce the risk. So there's just a couple of examples. Healthy living, and go to your GP for a health check.
My granny, Lord rest her, years ago used to say, as you know, my uncle would be putting salt on his food, that'll give you a stroke. I can remember that ringing in my head from years ago. Is there an association between salt intake and stroke?
Well, I'm not an expert in the medical side of it, but I would think too much salt would not help, because obviously it would clog the arteries, and part of the problem with the ischemic strokes is clogged up arteries. So too much salt in the diet I don't think is good, and I'm sure there would be a correlation with stroke.
What about this £10 million? Every health area is looking for more investment. How would the £10 million investment help prevent strokes?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is we do know what prevents strokes, but and it's been proven, but we haven't been able to really enact it properly throughout the health system to get those people with high blood pressure, hypertension, atrial fibrillation, to get them actually treated optimally, for them to know that they actually have the condition in the first place. There's also some drugs that work and some that don't, so there's a need for different clinical trials to see how people react and how we can prevent stroke. Clinical trials are quite expensive. However, you know, we feel £10 million investment, if you look at what the saving would be over the next 20 years or so, if we could stop, you know, there's an estimate there in the study that 100,000 people could be prevented from having a stroke. You know, so that is many millions of pounds. That would be hundreds of millions of pounds could be saved in the long term with a relatively modest investment. Now, we're not expecting 10 million just to be cooked up immediately. And that is UK-wide, by the way. That's not just Northern Ireland, so it would be a bit smaller for the investment we'd need in Northern Ireland. But, you know, we're calling on the health and social care bodies. You know, we're undergoing a big reshaping of stroke services at the minute, and we're hoping to have excellent services for people who have had a stroke and their families going forward. But why not put money into stopping them having the stroke in the first place? It makes sense.
And just remind us of the number of people coping with the after effects of stroke here in Northern Ireland.
In Northern Ireland, the 37,000 people in Northern Ireland, as I say, that's expected to more than double in the next 20 years if we don't engage in the public health campaigns and the research and the prevention.
And that's a wide spectrum of ages too, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, it does, the study that we're looking at the minute just looked at over 45, but there are a lot of young people having stroke, a lot of people of working age, which is quite surprising, I think, to the general public. So you can only imagine how devastating it is to a family where the main wage earner whoever has a stroke, and the economic and emotional impact of that. Even if they do survive, it's very often with long-term disabilities and maybe have difficulty maintaining their job, etc. So it's a devastating impact, and as I say, we're trying to avoid it happening in the first place.
Some people, however, do make a full recovery.
Absolutely, and there's been some fabulous developments in treatment. Some of the clot-busting drugs like thrombolysis, there's a new it's a relatively new treatment called thrombectomy, where it's very well used in the Royal Victoria Hospital, where people have the clot actually mechanically removed. And that, if that's got early enough, the person can make a full recovery or be left with much milder disabilities. That's all dependent on them getting to the hospital quickly, etc. Everyone's aware of the FAST message, to detect if the person's having the stroke. But there's much less of a mortality rate with stroke now than in the past, thankfully, because if they get to the right hospital at the right time, they will be saved, and the disability will be much less. And there's a big reconfiguration consultation around stroke at the minute in Northern Ireland to try and reconfigure our services so that people do get to the right hospital at the right time, and their lives and their future can be saved.
Yeah, that's one of the great debates at this present moment in time, of course. And remind us one final time of FAST. You touched on it, but we'll not take it for granted that everyone knows exactly what to do or what symptoms to look for.
Yeah, obviously FAST, that's our FAST campaign, and usually the carers or the person who's actually having the stroke would need to be aware of its face. The person's face would have a palsy, they would have a problem on the side of their face. A is for their arms. If you can't raise your arm, either of your arms above your head, you've numbness in your arm, there's a difficulty, obviously. And speech, people would lose the power of speech. And then T is for time. And as I said earlier, it's vital that we get, the ambulance is called and the person gets to the right treatment at the right time, because it is critical, the period of time for the treatment to either save the person's life or save the disability.
Okay, Barry, thank you very much indeed. Barry McCauley, the director of the Stroke Association here in Northern Ireland, just reminding us of the latest research. If you have a story to tell us, feel free. 90333105.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Conversation for you.